Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, this is an election year. You're probably thrilled to hear me remind you about that, but there'll be a few changes on the ballot this fall, at least personnel-wise.
Yeah, another Wisconsin top Senate Democrat has announced that they won't be seeking re-election this fall. Minority Leader Janet Buley of Mason said that she's stepping down, that she's retiring because she wants to spend more time with her recently retired husband and grandchildren. And Buley has been representing the 25th Senate District here in northern Wisconsin, which includes Superior and Ashland, and she was first elected to the Assembly in 2010 and won election to the Senate in 2014 when former state senator Bob Jauch of Poplar stepped down and retired. He had been holding that position since the late 80s, and Buley beat out a Rice Lake Republican, Dane Deutsch, in 2014 to get the vacant seat. And it's been a pretty challenging district as far as the races. They've been pretty close, especially after the 2016 presidential election. This district actually cast their ballot for Donald Trump in that race. And Buley, in the next couple of years, was reelected to the Senate with just 51.1% of the vote. President Biden won Wisconsin in the 2020 presidential election. Buley joins Representative Gordon Hintz, who represents the Oshkosh area. He announced in December that he would be resigning his position as Assembly Minority Leader. A host of other legislators have also announced they won't seek re-election, including Representative Beth Myers of Bayfield. Also, you know, in the Senate, some of the longtime serving state senators like John Erpenbach and Senator Kathy Bernier, who is a Republican from Chippewa Falls, also announced that they won't be seeking re-election. So it'll be a lot of new faces in the Senate and the Assembly come this fall.
All right. Moving to the business world, a few developments going on with Enbridge Energy.
Yeah, just this week, you know, hundreds of people attended a 10-hour-long hearing online Wednesday about Wisconsin's draft environmental review of their $450 million plan to reroute an oil and gas pipeline across northern Wisconsin. Canadian firm Enbridge wants to move its Line 5 pipeline after the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa sued the company a couple of years back to shut down and remove Line 5 from the tribe's reservation. And now they're proposing to put in a new 30-inch pipe expected to cross around 200 water bodies and temporarily affect 135 acres of wetlands. And most people that spoke during this hearing on Wednesday spoke in opposition to this project. Some of the things that they highlighted were that the state's draft environmental review was insufficient. It lacks baseline data and doesn't adequately evaluate impacts along the route that include the risk of spills. And they added that it also failed to accurately characterize treaty rights in the project area. Others raised concerns that the project would increase the risk of human trafficking along the route, as we've seen during the construction of Line 3 in Minnesota, when a couple of pipeline workers were arrested in a sex trafficking sting. And, you know, opponents to the line also highlighted its contribution to climate change, as scientists are urging drastic cuts in carbon emissions, and they said that this isn't the right time to be building another fossil fuel project. But supporters of the project say that this would bring 700 construction jobs to the area, that it would also generate around $135 million in economic activity, and also $36.5 million in property tax revenues for the state. We saw Republican lawmakers like Congressman Tom Tiffany and labor unions and the state's largest business lobby throw their support behind this project and say that, you know, they really have been touting it as a win-win for everyone.
Well, you mentioned jobs as part of that. With all kinds of changes going on in the workplace right now, where people are simply not going to offices because of COVID, The City of Superior is looking to help out with childcare.
Yeah, just this week, the Superior City Council approved setting aside $200,000 to help set up, expand, or relocate licensed childcare providers through grants and forgivable loans as parents are struggling to find childcare and providers are trying to stay afloat. You know, this idea was brought forward as one provider in the city is facing eviction, threatening to place 11 families at risk of losing care. You know, Jenny Van Sickle, the council's vice president, who brought this proposal forward, highlighted that childcare has been a barrier for people entering the workforce or staying in the workforce for that matter, and that childcare spaces have really fallen over the last decade. And across the state, we've seen more than 16,000 childcare slots that have been lost, according to the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And in Douglas County, where Superior is located, the county has lost almost 400 childcare slots since 2012. Part of this is because of the pay that workers receive, which is on average less than $27,000 a year. And also that childcare providers are very highly regulated, so they have to charge parents enough to cover their costs.
Right. Rick, let's head to the Minnesota side. But before we do, how about we stop in the Bay? You've got some shipping numbers from the last season.
Yes, the port of Duluth Superior was pretty busy last year. It rebounded nicely from pandemic-induced lows in 2020. The total maritime tonnage through the port of Duluth Superior climbed to 32.9 million tons in 2021, a 27% increase over the previous year, and a 2.3% improvement over the five-season average. Iron ore was the biggest winner of the things that are exported and imported, so it led the upswing there. Total taconite haul was at 20 million tons for the second time in four seasons. That hasn't happened since the early 1990s. Other tonnage winners in the port included coal exports and cement imports. It wasn't all good news, though. Grain, the port's number one export, suffered a steep decline that marked an 85-year low for Duluth Superior grain tonnage and was the second lowest seasonal grain total for the port since 1890.
All right. Well, on the shore on the Duluth side, the U of M wants to build a new medical building.
Yes, it does. University of Minnesota is requesting funding to design and build a new academic health care center located in downtown Duluth's medical district. And said that it's collaborating with Essentia Health and St. Luke's to provide a larger healthcare workforce to address the needs of Duluth, Greater Minnesota, and local indigenous populations. Now, as part of that overall request to the Minnesota legislature, the U of M is asking for $12 million for the design phase. St. Mary's Medical Center, located at 407 East 3rd Street, is a potential location. University of Minnesota President Joan Gable said the goal is to have the new building completed as early as fall 2025.
Lastly, going back to our local Olympic heroes, there's another one joining John Schuster and the curling gang in Beijing.
Yes, as you know, the Northland is usually very well represented in the Winter Olympics, mostly by curlers and men's and women's hockey players. But you can add downhill skiing to the list this year as Katie Vesterstein, a 22-year-old University of Utah skier with Duluth roots, is representing the country of Estonia. Why Estonia? Well, her grandfather, Paul Vesterstein, came to the United States from Estonia, then a part of the Soviet Union in the aftermath of World War II. And skiing was part of his family's heritage before he even came over. In 2018, Katie Vesterstein officially changed her skiing nationality to that of her grandfather's country. And the Estonian Ski Federation has been keeping an eye on her for the 2022 games. And Vesterstein is the only female alpine skier in the Estonian delegation. Her first race will be 8:15 p.m. Sunday, Northland time, as the giant slalom begins the women's ski program. The slalom is scheduled to begin at 8:15 p.m. on Tuesday.
Well, we've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin, and shout out to John Schuster of the curling team, who's going to be a flag bearer for Team USA.
And you can stay updated with them carrying the flag and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with, how about a little more music from the Ice Instruments, led by Brett Jones. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.